This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're going to use Don Lemon to again talk about this elite versus street stuff. We'll talk about the House Judiciary hearings. What is even the point of it? Are we going to get a better system disruptor? How can that happen? Sanctuary city laws. How's that legal? All that. So much more coming up in the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now back to our talk. We were having at the end of last hour. Don Lemon used to work for CNN. So let me explain something about TV. I've talked to you about this, but it was a long, long, long time ago because I do TV too every night. With radio, here's how it works. You know it goes in segments. Maybe you listen to the podcast, and I'm not exactly sure how they break up all the segments in podcasts, but if you're listening to the show live on any one of our wonderful affiliates, you know there's a segment and then a commercial break and a segment and then a commercial break, and everyone gets mad about the commercials. That's standard. Everybody who listens to the radio does. I'm no different, and that's how it goes, but it doesn't matter. They're going to be there. That's why it's on the air. Every single segment, and this is how I've always viewed radio. Every single segment needs to be able to stand essentially on its own. Meaning, and maybe I don't view this right, but this is just how I've always looked at it. My mentor, Michael Berry, helped guide me into this. What if you only have a 15-minute ride home? A 10-minute ride home? You need something to do. I can't punt on a segment. I don't. I can't say they're all good because obviously they're not, but I am mindful that for you, the Jesse Kelly Show might be a 15-minute podcast, essentially. It's you driving to school, driving home from work. That I might only have you for 15 minutes. Therefore, I don't prioritize the opening of the show more than I prioritize the third segment of hour three. Yeah, I may hit on a bigger issue on the first segment, but for me, it's no more of a priority. Every segment has to stand on its own, right? That's radio. For TV, it is not that way. And you should know that every TV show, certainly the talk shows you watch, they all know this. TV is laid out in blocks. I use the word segment, but in TV, they're known as blocks. So the first bit of your TV show you watch before the first commercial break, that's A block. And of course, the second one is B block and then C block. You get it. Okay, it's an alphabetical thing. You understand. A block. Why is it that most TV shows, including mine, A block is almost always the host doing a monologue? Why? Because A block in TV is exponentially more important, will have more viewers than the entire rest of the show. So, you know, I don't have a lot of guests on radio. TV is different. I have two or three guests a day. They're always after A block, or almost always after A block, because the people who watch my show on the first, they want to see me and what I have to say in A block. Meaning, if you want to do TV, and maybe you do, maybe this is your thing, you have to be able to sit down, look at the camera, and riff on something that people will want to watch for 15 minutes. No guests, nobody helping you out, you and the camera. It's what the audience wants. Don Lemon did a show for a while, years, with CNN. I'm sure this has happened before, but I have never seen this before in my life. The A block of Don Lemon's show, he would have Chris Cuomo. Chris Cuomo did the show before Don Lemon's, and Chris Cuomo would stay over after his show was over and do Don Lemon's A block with him. holding his hand for the most important block of the show. I had to lay out the business of TV to try to drive home how embarrassing that is. Embarrassing to this level. If the first TV came to me today and they said, hey, Jesse, we're going to have somebody do your A blocks with you from now on. They're going to sit down and they're going to do your A blocks with you. And then you can do the rest of the show, the interviews and stuff like that. But the A block, we want someone to sit in there with you. I would go home that night and I would talk to Aub. We would have a serious conversation whether I would ever do TV ever again, because I would take that as, I can't do it. I'm not good at it. There's no other way to take that. That's your TV company telling you, you suck at it. You need help. You really suck at it. That's how untalented Don Lemon is. But Don Lemon had a job for years at CNN. Why? He's black and gay. That's a meal ticket in the media industry or Hollywood or the university system, or honestly, most of corporate America now in this country. Black and gay, wow, that's like winning the lottery. That's two big diversity checkboxes. CNN decided his ridiculous salary was worth it in order to withstand any communist efforts where they would come at CNN and they'd say, you don't have enough gays on the show. We say, yep, we got Don Lemon. But what about minorities? They're super oppressed. Nope, we got Don Lemon. He became the ultimate shield for CNN. Nope, look, black and gay, black and gay. Look, he's black and gay. I know he sucks. Well, no, quit, Chris. No, he's black and gay. He's covered. What, Chris? Can't help it. The jokes are right there. Anyway. Don Lemon eventually got fired. The ratings were garbage. He's making millions of dollars. He got fired. Think about what that is like for Don Lemon. It doesn't matter that he wasn't qualified. It doesn't matter that he couldn't do his own A block. Don Lemon was an elite communist. You know that these organizations like CNN, and this applies to honestly all of them, these big media organizations, they'll go cover something in Europe. Has your job ever paid for first class tickets for you to go to Europe? Mine hasn't. No, of course not. It's not something that happens. You are the elite of the elite. Five-star hotels, a penthouse in Manhattan. Imagine waking up one morning and that's gone. He was part of the elite communist club, and then one day he's out of it. No one cares about him. No one knows who he is. No more five-star hotels in Petty. He's just Don Lemon. Ouch. When elite communists get kicked back to the streets, which is what happened to Don Lemon because he proved to not be useful enough for the revolution, they dream day and night about getting back into the elite communist circles. Why is Don Lemon always out there saying these most over-the-top, ridiculous things? Why is he, look, he's really playing it hard that they tried to arrest him. Why is he out there with all this false bravado now?
Look, I stand proud and I stand tall. This is not a victory lap for me because it's not over. They're going to try again and they're going to try again. And guess what? Here I am. Keep trying. That's not going to stop me from being a journalist. You're not going to diminish my voice. Go ahead, make me into the new Jimmy Kimmel if you want. Because I'm not going anywhere, and I'm going to believe the same things whether you want to, whatever. None of this is about justice.
Don Lemon is going to try to use his invasion of that church in St. Paul to get himself back into the fold of elite communist circles. Look at me. I'm a martyr. Look at what a loyal revolutionary I am. I'll even go in and blow up a church service. I'm a loyal revolutionary. Up, don't forget, black and gay. Loyal revolutionary, who's also black and gay. They tried to arrest me. Look what a martyr I am. That's the Don Lemon saga. Look, you're going to see it over and over again. Remember Jamal Bowman, congressman for 5 minutes from New York? Couldn't control his animal ways. He's yanking fire alarms and always saying stupid things. And the elites just decided, you got to go. The street communists are not allowed to join the ranks of elite communists and then make problems for them. If they do, they get kicked right back to the streets. That's what happened to Don Lemon. That's why he's trying to get out. All right. Let us discuss the House Judiciary hearings next.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I thought this, before we get to the House Judiciary Committee, I thought this little tidbit here was interesting. They were getting up and they were doing, they were all, of course, wearing these, you know, the doctor's uniforms and nurses' uniforms, and they were talking about these deportations. And, well, this is interesting.
Our patients are missing, canceling, or deferring important appointments for prenatal care out of fear of being targeted by immigration officials in their place of care. Anecdotally, many of our labor and delivery triage units are seeing lower volumes as a sign that individuals are not seeking out care with urgent concerns. Requests for resources for home births are up significantly, even among patients who had never previously considered this or for who it is not a safe option, and that is probably the most common thing I am seeing discussed amongst healthcare professionals. Some are birthing in the hospital alone, with no family, friends, or personal support present due to detainment or fear thereof.
That's awesome. That's so exciting. I mean, we're tired of you freeloaders coming over here and having kids who are American citizens. And the communists don't even really, sometimes I feel like they don't realize the words they're speaking and how often they make me only more excited to be an anti-communist. We have so many dirtball illegal women in this country having kids who are American citizens that now they're not showing up for prenatal care. Good. Go back to your own freaking country and get prenatal care. Oh, but they want to have it at home. Good. Go back to your home and have a freaking baby. We're tired of the anchor babies in this country getting the same vote that you do and I do. It's ridiculous. I hear these sound bites and all it does is make me stand up and cheer. But they're too afraid to come in. They're having babies alone. Well, you know what? Why don't you gather up all 25 family members and go back to that dump you came from and they'll all surround you when you have a baby. Bye. Chris, I'm in a good mood. I am. Hey, Jesse, can you please shed some light on why in God's name they even hold House Judiciary hearings? They go nowhere. We all know the commies will completely lie and deflect or fail to answer each and every question thrown at them. So, okay. I understand the repetitiveness of it. And a hearing in and of itself is not near enough for you or me. If you get some lying commie scumbag in front of the House or Senate Judiciary hearing, you, of course, would like action to follow, correct? I would like action to follow. I got all that. But let's assume action doesn't follow because action rarely follows. I'll get to the action part in a moment. I'm not going to dismiss that part of the question. What is our, when we talk about messaging and political messaging and what you put out there and what I put out there versus what the communists put out there, who are we fighting over? When I talk to you every day, when you and I talk, not convincing you of anything. You know this stuff. I know this stuff. We're on the same side. Now, I learn from you, and you may learn from me, but we're on the same side, and we want the same things. We're pulling in the same direction. And when the communists go out there and do their evil stuff, they're talking to each other as well. The people they're speaking to, Jimmy Kimmel, his audience, The View, that audience is already full of disgusting communists trying to burn down America. They're just talking to each other. Our real war is for the squishy normies in the middle. Virginia is a perfect example of this. In the 2028 election, the people of Virginia, whatever you think about it, red, blue, purple, whatever you think about it, in the previous elections, Virginia had decided, I've had enough communism. I'm going to vote for the GOP. The state itself overall may not be as far right as you are or I am, but they said, I've had enough. It's GOP for me. They end up with Governor Glenn Youngkin. They end up, all right, we got something going here. Then, after 1 year of the Trump administration and deporting 2 million people, Virginia went out and chose a communist to be their governor. Now, they are going to experience all the glory of communism, from the open jails to the higher taxes. It's all coming. They're moving at breakneck speed to implement every single part of the communist agenda, moving farther left than even California is right now, at breakneck speed. Now, why? What happened? Well, the people like you and me in Virginia, and maybe you're in Virginia listening, they never changed the way they operated. They never changed the way they voted. They've been going hardcore right as fast and far as possible. Previously, those people, they're always with us. But the normies previously decided they didn't like all this left-wing garbage, and they were going to fix it by voting for the GOP. Then, because they have no understanding of what they're doing, they have no understanding of politics and power, they don't understand what's happening, they don't understand how demonic communists are, they got annoyed with Trump or annoyed with Glenn Youngkin, and those normies in the middle, they went out and decided they're going to vote for a communist. Maybe they were stupid enough to believe she was a moderate, but again, if they were smart, they wouldn't be normies. It's what makes them normies. They're dumb. Easily swayed. That's who our war is for. That's what we're up against. Having a judiciary hearing may not result in action. And again, we're going to talk about why it doesn't result in action. But if it gives you or me stuff to put out there where the normies may wake up when they watch it, that's our never-ending war. The squishy normies in the middle. Frustrating as it may be, that's our never-ending war. All right? All right. Now, work can be a never-ending war when you are short an employee, meaning you need an extra man or a woman. You need someone to fill this role. Maybe it's a basic seasonal role. Maybe you need someone top tier to help take you to the next level. I need a vice president of this. Where do you even begin to look? ZipRecruiter is your one-stop shop. You don't begin at ZipRecruiter. It's the beginning and the end of finding your next great employee. Stop banging your head against the wall, scheduling interviews for dirtballs who don't even show up, taking ads out in the paper, putting a sign on the door. Stop doing that. ZipRecruiter will make your life easier. They'll find you someone fast. They'll find the right person fast. Matching technology, online meetings, quick. You don't have time. You don't have a year. ZipRecruiter knows that. You want to try it for free? ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, you can still email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So back to the lack of action after the judiciary hearings. Far be it from me to defend the House of Representatives, of course. But they don't have law enforcement power. What they have is the power to make referrals to the DOJ, to the Department of Justice. From there, the DOJ, if we're talking about arresting, trying, and sending somebody to prison, the DOJ has to act. And that is our problem right now, and it will continue to be our problem for the foreseeable future. Pam Bondi aside, this is actually not an anti-Pam Bondi rant. Pam Bondi aside, the Department of Justice is full and has been full of committed communists for years and years and years. And committed communists believe that law should only be used on their political enemies. And you only have that power at the DOJ to do what? One of two things: reward your friends and punish your enemies. Those people were not all cleaned out the second Donald Trump took office. In fact, because of this ridiculous blue slip process that Chuck Grassley is still screwing up every single day, Donald Trump can't get his U.S. attorneys confirmed to throw bad guys in prison. The blue slip rule is not a law. It's not even a rule. It's unwritten. And in case you're wondering what that is, if a U.S. attorney, let's say for New Jersey, Donald Trump has a U.S. attorney. He wants to be his U.S. attorney for New Jersey, Alina Haba. If both senators from New Jersey don't say, yeah, she can be U.S. attorney, then I guess tradition is what we should say. The tradition of the Senate is she doesn't get to be U.S. attorney. Well, now that Democrats are committed communists who live every single day to oppose everything Trump does, that means Donald Trump cannot get his U.S. attorneys confirmed unless Chuck Loser Grassley of Iowa will set aside this rule. He has the ability, he has the authority to do so immediately. Today, if he wants to, he can stand up and say, all right, no more blue slip rule. But Chuck Grassley won't do it, so Donald Trump doesn't get his U.S. attorneys. And because he doesn't get his U.S. attorneys, we don't have the horses we need at the DOJ to throw communists in prison. Allow me to repeat myself for the 10,000th time. There is a relatively small cabal of red state GOP senators who have their foot in the door that keep us from ever slamming it shut on communism. Whenever we have an opportunity to make real gigantic gains, loser red state GOP senators like Chuck freaking Grassley step up and say, you know what? No. That would violate tradition. Drives me up the wall. Jesse, I went to Home Depot to grab a couple things, and two employees approached me from the Home Depot HVAC team. They asked me how old my furnace was. I politely told them, no, thank you, I'm not interested. To which their response was, okay, so how old is your equipment? I reflexed my knife hand, but caught my language and just sternly reiterated my disinterest. My question is, why must I repeat myself to these people? I'm not talking about a standard, well, if you change your mind thing, but just continuing with their pitch. Am I getting older and more cantankerous, or are people getting less mindful of other people's time and space? He says his name is Dick. All right. I'm sorry, Richard. Richard. So there are a couple things going on here, Richard. First, are you getting older and more cantankerous? You know what happened tonight during the show? You know that Jewish producer Chris and Corey, they're the ones who upload the podcast, and they're the ones who put podcast descriptions. Like, I don't do any of that. I don't even know how to do any of that stuff. That's tech nerd stuff that's well beyond me. Jewish producer Chris was occupied, probably eating, but was occupied doing something during the first segment of the show. He then asked me during the commercial break, hey, what did you talk about? I'm making notes for the show. And you know what I told Chris? Go listen and find out. Why? Is it just because I'm a jerk? That's only half of it. Nobody likes to repeat themselves. I understand that. There's nobody out there who says, well, I love repeating myself. As I've gotten older, I absolutely refuse to do so to anybody at all. Anybody. I will not repeat myself. Especially if I've made it crystal clear or you just weren't paying attention. There's something about, I don't know what it is, getting older. I refuse to do so. Remember I told you I have this radio coach call every week? Because I don't know how to do radio. Corporate wants me to get a little better with some things. I mean, don't get me wrong. They love what we're doing. But just, you know, getting in and out of breaks and things like that. And he'll tell you to your face to this day. He's asked me, what are you going to talk about when it comes to this subject? And I'll say, you'll have to listen and find out. And he'll just start laughing. Or he'll ask me, what did you say yesterday about this? I say, download the podcast. I'm not saying it all again. I already said it one time. I don't know whether it's just because I'm a jerk, which I admit. And I don't know. Maybe it's just getting older. The reason you got angry with those HVAC people is you don't like repeating yourself when you've made it crystal clear the first time. Totally understandable. But there's also another thing happening. You ever been in the mall? When's the last time you went to the mall? You've been in the mall. I go to the mall very rarely. Obviously, it's not. Well, now that Orange Julius is gone. I don't really go to the mall, but occasionally we'll go to the mall, take the kids up. All those little shops, the little stands, I should say, that are not the actual stores, but they're the stands in the center of the mall. You know, they're selling stuffed animals and phone cases and perfumes and things like that. And it's always got people there. And they're dangling it out in front of you and trying to stop you on the way by, aren't they? Hey, sir, what kind of perfume are you wearing? Hey, sir, have you tried our new cases? Hey, sir, you look like you could use a new iPhone. Hey, sir, hold on. Hey, people get annoyed by that. And I understand I get annoyed by that. I also admire it. How much would that job suck? Because you are inevitably... You are going to get snipped at, snapped at. You're going to get people treating you like crap all the time. It's part of your job. It's like working in the lost luggage section of the airport. You don't encounter a ton of friendly people. You're going to get yelled at all the time. And yet, in order to make a living, they're out there hustling and doing it all the time. There was a guy in New York City. I'm sure he's gone now, dead and gone. Who knows? Maybe he's still there. People listening right now on WOR are going to email me and tell me if he's still there, if he is. But there was this black dude. He shined shoes on the sidewalk. I would usually wear my cowboy boots when I went to New York, just trying to look a little nicer. I would wear my cowboy boots, but occasionally they'd be dress shoes. Didn't matter what it was. And this black dude would insult everyone who came by. He would insult their shoes in order to make a buck. And I'm telling you, he would just say, sir, come on, you're better than that. Look at that. That's crap. Dude, stop by. You should be embarrassed right now. Get over here and get your shoes shined. It's a great hustle. I let him shine my shoes every time I had 10 bucks. Every single time I had 10 bucks. He made me laugh. I appreciate the hustle. There's someone listening right now. He's driving nails for a living. I appreciate the hustle. There's somebody in sales right now going to a call, might fail, probably will. I appreciate the hustle. I've had to do so many things to pay my bills and get by. When people were doing it, even if I get annoyed by it, I get it. And especially if you're doing a job where you get yelled at all the time, I respect it. Let's talk about the legality of sanctuary cities. Next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Before we get over to the sanctuary city laws, I just felt the need to point something out really quickly. You see, it wasn't even that long ago I came on the radio and on TV, and don't roll your eyes, Chris. You don't know what I'm going to say. And I said this.
Minnesota is all the rage right now because it appears to be ground zero. But I'm here to tell you that is only our first little crack in the window so we can just peek inside. And we're mortified by what we see. Oh, my gosh. There's cancer in here. Look at the fraud. But it's just a crack right now. As the Trump administration, to their credit, they're doing this. As the Trump administration continues on and that crack gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, it has a chance, unless you are mentally ready for it, to dishearten you. When they start digging into California, it's going to make Minnesota look like a convent. That's what it's going to do. And this is not just California and Minnesota. For years, for decades, the cancer has been metastasizing inside of the body of the United States of America.
Remember when I said that? It was brilliant, wasn't it, Chris? Don't make that face. It was brilliant, wasn't it? That's funny because the Vice President of the United States of America got up today. Was this today or last night? I think it was today. Got up today. He said this.
I think we have a fraud problem that is much worse in California than it is in Minnesota. I was talking actually to our small business administrator. I think she's found probably $500 million of fraud in Minneapolis and the broader Minnesota area. I think she's found $7 billion worth of fraud in California. So this is unfortunately a problem that is much bigger than Minnesota.
How do I get it so right so often? I know that's what you're asking, Chris. No, I'm kidding. How is this the easiest call in the world? When you accept that at its core, the Democrat Party relies on its three pillars, FFC, burn that into your mind. Fraud, foreigners, and cheating. Fraud, foreigners, and cheating. Without those things, there is no Democrat Party. Their ideas are all unpopular with the American people. Most of them are 80-20 ideas, the things the Democrat Party pushes for. So how is it a 50-50 country where the House says is a razor's edge and we don't even know who's going to win the presidency? FFC, that's how. Fraud, foreigners, and cheating. And oftentimes those three pillars work together, I should point out, of course. That means anywhere you find Democrats in power, you will have fraud. You will have corruption. And there's a reason behind this. Democrats, they believe in using taxpayer money for their own political ends. There is not an ounce of patriotism. They don't care about your town when they're elected to city council. They don't care about your state when you elect them governor. They don't care about the country itself. These things never cross their minds at all. They only care about power, rewarding their friends and punishing their enemies. And you only take power so you can use taxpayer money to push your agenda forward, to push the revolution forward. That means anywhere, large or small, Democrats hold power, there is fraud. Oftentimes, it never gets discovered because who do you think they're going to make chief of police in these places? The head of the state police. Who do you think the blue area is going to elect as the sheriff? But nevertheless, fraud is everywhere you find universal Democrat rule. It's built in. It's built in. It's what they do. FFC, the three pillars that hold up the Democrat Party. Jesse, how do sanctuary city / state laws stand? Why are they not considered obstruction of justice? Okay, so first, sanctuary city laws, what it makes it sound like is, hey, you're not allowed to deport people in Minneapolis. Minneapolis is in the news, so we'll use them. You're not allowed. We have a law that says you're not allowed, but that's not really it. That's how they sell it to the animals in their base. How it actually works is this. They turn the illegals loose from jail before ICE can deport them. This is how soulless and evil Democrats are. In everywhere from Minnesota to New York, everywhere. When they think there's a chance ICE might come in and they have a rapist from El Salvador sitting in their jail and they think ICE might come in, they let him out rather than let ICE deport him. They turn him loose in your daughter's neighborhood rather than let ICE deport him. That's what it means. That's why ICE is even in the community in these blue areas. Why was there no massive controversy when ICE was in the Houston area deporting illegals? Because local law enforcement worked with them and said, hey, we got a bunch down at the jail. Come pick them up. And ICE shows up. They don't have to go kick in doors. They don't have to raid an apartment complex. They just show up, go down to the jail, grab the guy, and deport him. But in blue areas, they don't do that. Because they call themselves sanctuary cities or sanctuary states. So they let them out of jail. It really is that evil. Democrats are so evil, they will take a violent, vile human being and they will purposely set him loose on your city rather than let ICE deport him. Remember this radio transmission? You remember this? Listen to this. This is the actual transmission. Listen to this.
Just to confirm, 39th Police in Kedzie, they were saying that they were being surrounded by that large crowd, and they were requesting the police were not sending. I'm waving off all the cars heading to 39th Police in Kedzie.
Again, those are the orders we're being given.
Okay, 10-4. And again, for all the units that we called to go over that way, 39th Police in Kedzie, if you could just hold off 911, 913, 923, 924, 933, 934, just disregard that, 39th Place in Kedzie.
The cops were going over to help ICE who had been surrounded. They were called off. That's what's happening. That's what sanctuary city laws look like in practice. All right, we still have an hour. We have to talk about China's population, ancient battles. We have to talk about establishment Republicans and more. Next.